The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It's Kiefer and Curry for a brand new year opening edition. The obvious thing to do to start things off is to wish all of you a very happy and prosperous new year as we embark on 2024. Hopefully everybody had a wonderful holiday celebration. Tony and I were here for you last week, the day after Christmas, and we're here the day after New Year's. This guy's a taskmaster, this Tony Curry, Lord and Master of PKR. When it's time to go to work, we go to work, Tony Curry.
Yes, we do. We don't take time off. Hey, listen, when you talk for a living, I was planning on talking on the first day of 2024, so I might as well run some tape while I do it. So let's get after it.
Let's do it. I kicked around a lot of different subjects. Of course, Tony and I do a lot of sports on this show, sports issues, and Lord knows there's plenty of those. We will have unlimited subject matter, but it's the first of the year. It's kind of that time of revival and renewal and reset your priorities. And Tony and I are both in kind of the broadcast game. Tony has been directly involved. I've been kind of it's my first love, but I've been able to stay involved with it through my marketing and business contacts in the entertainment business, predominantly racing and gaming. And the bottom line is we both have a real love for radio. And last week, Tony and I had the opportunity to fill in. Nobody wants to work Christmas week and the week between Christmas and New Year's. Yeah. All the regulars at the station look for it to take time off. So that opens up slots where, and I've got a close friend who's the assistant program director over at Talk 99.5, my old producer, Alan Johnson. He reached out a couple weeks ago and said, hey, any way you could cover for us on some shows during that week between Christmas and New Year's? And it just came to be a great opportunity for the great Tony Curry to, who actually was the foundation piece to build that frequency 99.5 when it was a classic rock station. Mm-hmm. I asked Tony if he'd be interested in sitting in with me. He was, and we did, I think, two extraordinary programs, 4 hours in the morning from 6 to 10. I was in Las Vegas. So Tony, I was doing 4 to 8. I'm just now recovering because that really is not my time of day. You jump up at 3:30 and go out and take care of the North 40, or whatever you farmers do early in the morning. But, it was an interesting experience. I know it was a surreal experience. You talked about this on the air on 99.5, but I felt the TKR listeners might be interested to hear you just kind of recount going back to the place that you worked for 30 plus years after about a 4-year absence, just kind of reminisce about last week. And then we'll get into the subject matter that I was kind of envisioning here, talking about where terrestrial radio is, where it's going, if anywhere, and all of the different things that are popping up, including networks like yours on the internet.
Why I think it's so important to, because a lot of people will be listening to this podcast and going, why should terrestrial radio, why should I care about this? Well, you should care about it because we've cared about it our entire lives. And we've been told that we shouldn't care about it anymore. And we're here to tell you that you probably should. You know, it was interesting because I had meetings and my days are so screwed up. I'm going to church on Wednesdays. I've got Monday night football on Tuesdays. I don't even know. Yesterday, I didn't know what day it was. And so my days are all screwed up. So bear with me, but I'm going to meetings yesterday and several people heard me on Talk 99.5. I guess it was late last week or early this week. I don't even know what week it is anymore. And they were congratulatory towards me. And I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, congratulations on the new gig. And I said, what are you talking about? And they're like, you know, over Talk 99.5. I got up this morning. I was listening to News Talk and there's Tony Curry, you know, and I hear him on there with his new partner, Kip Kiefer. And you guys got this new talk show. And they were like, it was fantastic and we loved it. And it just, it warmed my heart to know, first of all, that it always feels good to be liked. It always feels good to have someone say, I love what you're doing and I love your content. I love the way you're speaking so eloquently about this. And I was like, no, I said, we were just filling in. And then when I told them that we did it for free, they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, I said, that's just kind of a rite of passage where, you know, at any given time, whenever you're given the opportunity to fill in for someone on a 50,000 watt stick, it is an opportunity. And I think I've said this a million times. I don't take that opportunity lightly at any stretch. This isn't about, you know, if we did radio for the pay, we would have gotten out of it 30 years ago. You know, there's no one in radio that does it for the money. There's not. And you know, we could talk up at the Rick and Bubba's and the Rick D's and the Shannons and talk about some of these guys that have taken it to another level. Those are so few and far between. They're one in, not a million, they're one in 100 million. So you're not doing it to make the big bucks by any stretch, and no one's ever done it. You show me a radio personality who does it for the money, and I'll show you a radio personality who's married to a lawyer who's making six figures and he's doing it as a hobby.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, you don't meet radio personalities who aren't married to women who have much better jobs and do really well. And so, you know, I always thought to myself, how in the world has this guy done radio for 35 or 40 years, and made it a career? It's because he comes from a two income family and he's got a wife that allows him to run his joy through his chops and allow him to talk radio. And that being said, yeah, can you make a pretty comfortable living? Absolutely, you can. But now you can't do that. I mean, it's just not there. To kind of give people an idea, you had 6 to 10, 10 to 2, 2 to 6, 6 to 10, 10 to 2, 2 to 6. You had six different shifts, 4-hour shifts, pretty much running, you know, six shifts throughout the day. Everyone had their own show. You only had one person on a show. You never had two because you weren't going to pay for two guys as opposed to one. One could do a 4-hour show. And to go back, in most cases, they were musically elemented shows. So you didn't have to worry about someone talking for 4 straight hours, which, by the way, is just an amazing thing. I heard you do it for Leland. I don't think people realize how difficult it is to do a 4-hour talk show. It is incredibly difficult. It takes just an enormous amount of chutzpah to be able to gauge your material and your content over the course of a 4-hour period and not repeat yourself, which I think is just it's wizardry at its best. It's masters. It's just unbelievable. So to go back and to say, you know, I really felt like and to be put in the position I was in, and I really appreciated the opportunity because I had to reach out to my therapist and said, listen, I'm given an opportunity here to go back to a place that fired me. And it wasn't done the way I certainly would have done it. I was escorted out by a policeman, by a deputy sheriff, and to be escorted out, after giving my career and my life, my blood, sweat, and tears to this industry and to this company, and to leave that way, it would have thought nothing of it to say, you know what, I'm good, Kip. You know what, I don't feel like this is something I need to re-engage in, and don't really feel like. But I did it for a couple of reasons. First of all, I always look from an exposure standpoint, and I think, listen, you're given an opportunity. How many people in Birmingham, Alabama, could you open your little black book to and say, listen, okay, we have a list of these people. Who do we entrust 4 hours of 50,000 wattage on the day after Christmas, to ensure that they're not going to lose their license and it's going to be great radio. And Kip Kiefer's name would come up and you'd be willing to do it. And Tony Curry would be the other one. And some people would probably say, screw you, unless you can throw me a couple $100, I'm not going to do it. And that's fine. Those are the people that they wouldn't want to fill into those positions because they don't love radio as much as you and I do. And the second thing is, you know, why are you doing it? Can you make a difference? Are you doing it for perhaps an opportunity to open up a new road of radio philosophical goodness and content? You know, you and I were doing this show in hopes that some, you know, program director from Tupelo or from San Francisco was listening going, who are these guys? I want to hire these guys to do mornings for me in San Francisco on Monday morning. That's not the reason we were doing it. The reason you do it is for the love of the actual profession itself. And there is a real art to that. that. There's a real art to that and a real beauty behind that. And probably no more satisfying than that last segment of a 16 segment show of 4 segments an hour, 4 hours long, to know that you got through that segment and did a great show. Are they all going to be hundreds? No. But to know that you put your best foot forward and know you put a good show out and hopefully you made a difference in someone's listening life is just huge. It just really is.
Well, for us and a lot of the things we're trying to build here, and we've got a television show on every week on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You've got a internet network that has grown by leaps and bounds, but mm-hmm. I know you're always looking for those opportunities to rise to another plateau and just continue to make that enterprise successful. So from a promotional standpoint, for what we're trying to do, like you say, a powerhouse station like that with an established listenership, and Birmingham is unique, and I want to talk about that a little bit too, because you don't see a whole lot of operations like they're continuing to try to run a Talk 99.5 in other markets in this country, which is the roots and the origins of radio to start with. It's local programming as opposed to just these syndicated shows that yes. pretty much populate every other airwave and every other station operation. But from I love what you just said, because yes, it was an ideal chance, and we got all our shameless plugs in throughout for our television show, for TKR programming, for my programs here, for all Tony's doing and all the great lineup of shows that he's put together. And of course, the backbone of TKR, the classic rock, which is just a very innovative operation and a great resource. People listen to it not only in this country, but even internationally. Mm-hmm. So you've built something extraordinary that needs to be promoted and nurtured. And it was a great opportunity. But at the end of the day, you just nailed it. I mean, you and I are entertainers, performers, and it is incumbent upon us, not by anyone else, but by our own standards, to put on the best show possible and walk away going, that was a pretty damn good show. I'm really pleased with that. And it is very challenging in a 4-hour format. And you can't really even build up a lot of momentum because the terrestrial station, the 99.5 talk station here in Birmingham has to sell a bunch of inventory just to pay the bills. And the breaks are seemingly endless. It's redundant. It's the same commercials. Mm-hmm. I know as a listener, it's not an ideal product, but they can't really structure it any other way.
You know, and this is where it kind of folds out for me, because obviously this is a business. And I think you just put it in the pie and you just fried it up big time. You know, it's like if I go into a 4-hour show, I better feel, and I always talk about Opie, on time, prepared, engaged. I better feel like I put a great show on, or else a lot of people would say, well, you know what? You weren't getting paid for it. You were filling in for someone that didn't obviously want to be there that day. It was there after Christmas. So mail it in. Just mail it in. Go do whatever. And I've never mailed it in. I can't mail it in, because I feel like it's such a huge opportunity, because I know there are not that many people out there that you could just call and say, listen, first of all, are you willing to do a 4-hour show for me? Are you willing to do it for nothing? Are you doing it? Or are you willing to do it for the love of the game? And I think that's, when someone asks you, it's almost like someone asking you to do the eulogy at a wedding, or eulogy, I say, at a wedding. That's hilarious. That's a Freudian slip there.
That's a Freudian slip if I ever heard one.
It's almost like asking me to do the eulogy at a funeral. You don't want to do it, but it's something that is regarded. It's something that is respected. It's something that you're being asked to do because they know you're going to do a good job. And I don't take that lightly. And it's not always the most comfortable to go through a eulogy, but if you do it right, there is a large amount of therapeutic philosophies behind, you know, getting through that eulogy and getting through, in this particular case, you know, a 4-hour show. And so, you know, it's just, it's amazing, because, you know, I look at, I look at times, unless I'm a program director, okay? And I was asked to be a program director four different times, and I turned it down each time because I felt like there was no need to stick my neck out any further than I had already stuck it out in radio. And I didn't need, if I was going to get fired, it was going to be for something I did on the radio, not because of something I did from a programming standpoint. And, you know, it's amazing because you won't just allow anyone to get on a 50,000 watt stick, which was one of the biggest sticks in the state of Alabama, and that's being talked now. 995 to fill in for any stretch of time, whether it be a 5 minute, 10 minute, you know, hell, if you wanted to ask an advertiser to come on, you'd charge them $5,000 or $6,000 to come on for 30 minutes on the day after Christmas. And here they are allowing us to come on for 4 hours and talk about whatever they want and respect that and give us and entrust us to run a good show. And there's something to be said about that. I think, you know, why is it done in hopes that, you know, you can do it again? Sure. I think there's always an opportunity. And, you know, what a lot of people don't realize, Kip, is, you know, towards the end of that show, and I talked about it, it was just kind of a crazy dream. I don't expect people to understand how I felt or what I went through. It was the most bizarre. I couldn't tell if it was a nightmare, whether it was a great dream, whether what the dream was, everything from driving in to the smells, to the sounds of the parking lot, to the people I saw that morning at 4:30. It was just a bizarre, weird dream sequence. And then after I got finished, you asked me if I'd do it again. You asked me if I'd do it again, and I think you felt bad that you were asking me to if I would be willing to do it again, because there was obviously a fall through and there was a miscommunication, and you were still in Vegas and you're like, hey, listen, I'll understand if you don't want to do this. And I had to. First of all, I had to do it for you because you're my friend and I'd do anything for you. So, I mean, that was number one. First of all, if you need my help, I'm going to help you. But second of all, here it was again. It's like, hey, you know what? Your best friend died on Monday. Well, your other best friend died on Tuesday. Can you eulogize another? And you have to do it. You have to do it.
Well, I got, you know, you and I were already set a couple of weeks before I had. At a TV session, I said, I've gotten this call. They need somebody on the 26th. I told him I'd do it. Terry Quillian worked with me on that station on the ride home. I had asked her, I'll be at my daughter's. I'm not interested in doing that the day after Christmas. I've got too much going on. So I just happened to mention it to you and said, would you have any interest? Because I knew it would be a dynamite show.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe it would even be therapeutic for you to have a chance to go back there and just kind of, you know, not that there was offense to men, but maybe that was just a good step in, you know, because there's really no limitation what we're looking at in terms of options. But to kind of open that door again that, you know, maybe if this operation's going to continue, and I had mentioned this in my first comments, what they're trying to do is present 13 hours of live local programming every day, Monday through Friday, and that's been abandoned. There's another talk station in town, WREC, that does no local live programming. It's all syndicated.
Yep.
It's all done from somewhere else. And, you know, what Talk 99.5 is trying to do is, and this is a unique market that still embraces that kind of approach, but I think it's going to become increasingly difficult. And I think they're going to have to look at their lineup and their content and who they have on the air. And they've got a couple of outstanding shows, but, you know, it's a real difficult challenge what they're trying to do as well. And I don't know. It seemed like kind of a natural thing. I didn't know it was going to subject you to the emotional strife that it did. Although if I really would have thought about it, it's a pretty natural reaction. Someplace that you gave every ounce of your effort for over 30 years.
No, you know what I said, Kip? It was, and I analogize. I love analogies. It was like meeting up with a woman that I had a hot and heavy relationship for 30 years.
Right.
And it was hot and heavy. It was that crazy blonde. It was the one that you did all the crazy stuff with. And it was the one you always thought to yourself, okay, you know, is this the one? Should I have married her? Should I settle down? Should this be the one that I'm going to be buried next to? And for whatever reason, it didn't happen. And then all of a sudden you're given an opportunity. You know, she's going to be in the same room you're in. You know, she's still going to look attractive. You're still going to have all those wonderful memories, but things just didn't work out the way you had hoped. And that's that awkward. I can't think of a better analogy. It was just incredibly awkward to go into a situation, and do that. So, I mean, that was the best analogy I could have made for that particular situation. But again, it woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know, listen, I've been in a situation twice in my life where I was on, within seconds of giving up radio as my career. One time I was filing records when I was 14 years old. The other time I was 18 years old and I was, actually working up at a radio station up in Hamilton, Ohio. And then another, as actually a third opportunity when I was down in Louisville, Kentucky, when I was given the opportunity to work in Birmingham. And every one of those instances, I was just on the cusp of picking up the phone, calling someone saying, listen, I'm going to take my career in a different direction. And I'm going to go back to college and do something different, and something triggered, something happened. And all of a sudden that next door in my radio career opened up. And so I never, again, I talk about not taking things lightly. I don't ever know when that opportunity is. I don't know if my cell phone was going to ring while I got in the car. Even if it did, if someone offered me $200,000 to do a brand new morning show with Kip Kiefer, I don't know if I would have taken it if I had gotten that phone call on that Tuesday or Wednesday morning, but I sure as hell wouldn't have been there had I not taken that opportunity to do the show in the first place. And so that's something that we had to talk about. I did want to bring up something. I think that it's very poignant, and you know, you come up with these ideas to talk about, and sometimes I don't think you even realize how topical you're being. And that's a beauty behind your algorithmic way of thinking, Kip. But on December 28th, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of ESA 50, which is something called the Act Against Extinction Act. And there was a wonderful story on NPR and I think on Alabama Public Television about the bald eagle and how the bald eagle, had we not adopted that, and that was one of the reasons that we adopted this act against extinction, was because we were going to lose our bald eagles. Had we not done that, we would have lost every single one of them and we would have had none left. A lot of people can look at the Extinction Act and say it worked. Some people say it doesn't work, but I will tell you this, whenever you have something, and I'm going to use radio as an example here, whenever you have something that is on the precipice or the act of extinction, and then somehow you save it and bring it back, it never comes back the way you remember it. And it never comes back as strong as the way you remembered it. And it never comes back as good as the way it was. We're never going to have as many condors or as many bald eagles or as many tiger striped sloths or whatever you're trying to save as it was before we put that Extinction Act in. And I thought it was really interesting when you came up with this idea of having this 50th anniversary of this Extinction Act, because radio is extinct. There aren't many left. We used to have 100,000 bald eagles, and now we're down to our last couple of hundred. And when you tune in, you hear those bald eagles. You know, I hope you appreciate what you're getting. And we can try to save it all we want, and we can try to introduce them to new areas of radio, whether that be podcasting, whether that be blogcast, whatever you want to call it. There's different ways of introducing these new eagles to new lands, but it doesn't mean they're going to come back the same way they're going to come back the way they were, and they're not going to come back as strong as the way we remember them.
That is a fantastic analogy, because that's so spot on what you just said there. I'm having 1,000 thoughts run through my mind, but I do want to transition now that we've kind of explained what happened, because after we had the Tuesday show in the can last week, we wrapped it up. I got a call late that afternoon from my friend AJ at the station saying, hey, we've got a problem. We don't have anybody for the next 2 days. What we had lined up or what we thought we were going to do has fallen through. you know, can you do it again Wednesday and Thursday? So, yeah, I knew it went really well with Tony. I knew that he had gone through some trauma, but, you know, he had gotten back on the bike and successfully ridden very effectively. So I just hesitantly mentioned it to you, and you're spot on. I felt like I can't ask him to do this again. You know, it's like, hey, we just rushed. We just fought off the 100,000 Mexicans at the Alamo. Can you be back up here on the wall tomorrow at 7 a.m.?
Right.
And Tony Curry, the class guy that he is, the radio guy that he is, the performer, the entertainer that he is, pulled on his boots at 6 a.m. last Wednesday and did that show with me again. And I just want to publicly thank you so much, because I thought even the second day, when it was more, it was not normal. Let's face it. I'm broadcasting from a hotel room with portable equipment from Las Vegas at 4 a.m. You're getting up and driving into the place that you went every day for 30 some odd years. There was nothing normal about it, but I think we did some damn good shows.
Yes.
And I'm really proud of that. And I'm really thrilled that we were able to promote what we're doing and having this opportunity to just kind of kick this around. Cause I think people listening to this are probably fascinated to hear kind of the anatomy of how this all came together.
No. And I, you know, and it's like, okay, so what's next? And you know, there are people that, you know, I went to Xavier University, which was a great communications college. A lot of people knew that the college in a portion of the country out of Cincinnati, Ohio, right across the street from the University of Cincinnati. And they're like, if you want to get in communications, you actually used to go to college to become a radio personality.
Definitely.
That was a major. You know, I had already gotten into radio when I was in high school, because we had a high school radio station. So I didn't really need to take it as a major. So I took business, and then I took it as a minor. And because I knew that you either had it or you didn't. I knew people that went to Xavier for 8, 9, 10, 11 years to become a radio personality, to make $18,000 a year doing something they really thought they loved, but they were never going to be that radio personality because they just didn't have it. And it wasn't mic shyness. It wasn't mic blankness. It wasn't the fact that they just could it have happened with some type of newfound energy, or could it come with I don't know what. But there's some people that just have it. Some people that just don't. And it's much like trying to learn how to play the guitar. And again, you know, I consider myself the king of analogies. There's some people that can pick up a guitar at 3 o'clock in the morning and never take a lesson and just start screwing with the strings. The next thing you know, they're playing beautiful music. It may not be anyone's particular song. It may not even be their own song, but they're making music with their guitar. There's other people that no matter how hard they want to play the guitar and how bad they want to be Jimmy Page or Robert Plant or Eric Clapton, they're never going to be that person. They're never going to sound as good as they think they can. And no matter how much they practice, it's truly a labor of love, but it's a love they don't even realize they don't want. And so, you know, they're sitting there trying to practice and practice and practice. They're never going to be where they want to be. And then there's some people that are kind of like in the middle, that perhaps, you know, are willing to do some of the smaller things and some of the basic things to be the best person they could be in that particular realm or in that profession. And they're willing to step up and do some of the smaller things, that is, to be as successful and be the best version of themselves in that particular profession, which is, of course, in this particular case, radio. And so, you know, I saw people that tried so desperately, and I would always ask them, why do you want to be in radio? And I wasn't even sure. I don't know if it was because of the power. I don't know if it was because, you know, when you were an afternoon guy or you were a morning radio personality, you were a local legend. I mean, you were the real deal. I mean, you and I have gone through a laborious list of great radio personalities, TC and John. We could go for 100 years talking about, you know, radio and where it was in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and even the 80s. And you were a star. You know, TV was the same way. You know, this would be a really interesting conversation to have with some people up at ABC 3340, where we do our show on Saturday mornings from 10:30, 11 o'clock, or Fox 6, because it used to just be this fervent anthill of personalities and running in and out and all these minds working together and talking over each other and trying to put on the next best story. And now you've got two personalities with a teleprompter clicker in one hand and a pen in the other, and they're in there by themselves for 4 hours. And yep. It's just not the same anymore. It really isn't. And you know that they may be recognized when they go to, Applebee's for dinner later on tomorrow night. You know, Mike Dubberly may be recognized and that may get his rah-rahs off to still be recognized. And I still believe from a TV standpoint, he appreciates that. From a radio standpoint, you have to open your mouth to be recognized because our faces aren't on radio, although they are on television now on ABC 3340. So we have certainly broached that subject today. So yeah, I just, it's really interesting to see how the entire medium of TV and radio has changed for everybody.
It's for sure. I think to kind of put a bow around this before we transition to what now, I do think that what you and I bring is unique, and I think we can celebrate that fact because I don't think there's a situation, whether it's radio, television, if we are asked to do it, to accomplish a task, to be informative, to be entertaining, I feel like you are my brother in arms because I think we are very adept at being able to complete the task and do it successfully because our own personal standards are so high. I think the key thing we've said in this program is Tony Curry and Kip Kiefer will never sit before a microphone and just go through the motions. It's not in our DNA. It's not something we're capable of. We're going to try and do a great show, and I'm proud of what we did.
No, and I think that's spot on, and ultimately you have to do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. And if people want to write, that's why we have over 150,000 new podcasts every single month that come out in this country. Yeah, you can go out there and do it for yourself. But if you have no listeners, you have no people that appreciate what you're trying to say and how you're trying to say it, then you really have no one to follow you. And if you don't have any followers, you have no reason to continue to do what you're doing. And that's why you do what you do. That's why I do what I do. And that's why we continue to do here what we do on Tony Curry Radio. Hey, great stuff, man. I can't wait for, and by the way, you could throw some stuff out, info at Tony. curryradio.net. I'd love to get some emails from some callers, some listeners. I've had several people that are like, okay, now you're doing this television show in January, February, March. Are you going to be talking about hoops? Are you going to be talking about other sports? Are you talking about, relationship advice? We'd love to get some ideas about some different ways we could take this show. And we're wide open. And a lot of people, and I've had several people go, well, what can you guys talk about? We can talk about whatever we want, wherever we want to go.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And so the idea of people going, wait a minute, Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry can talk about whatever they want for 30 minutes. Yes. So put it out there. Think outside the box. If you got any ideas, info at tonycurryradio.net. Let us know, and we'll continue to get after it. In the meantime, we've got some college football to finish up, and we got some more college football to get into. We'll do that again this weekend around on ABC 3340. Thank you, my friend.
Tony, it was fun, and look forward to the future. We're going to do more great things.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.